Good morning, church family. Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. And as you find chapter 6, just a reminder that we are on the helmet of salvation today, and this is our third Sunday. We're going to complete our portion of the study on the helmet of salvation. I know that there are so many scriptures and so much there that we could spend a lot longer on it, but we're going to kind of wrap up our overview, if you will, of the helmet of salvation. We are reminded that to live in spiritual victory, we need two things. I could probably ask you at this point what they are, and you would remember them, but I'm going to remind you what they are. First and foremost, dear friends, we must be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? The Scripture says, and be filled with the Spirit. Second thing is, we need to put on the armor. There's some pieces that we wear all the time. Some that we wear. Those first three that are mentioned here, you're going to realize they stay on all the time. And then when we find ourselves in those spiritually difficult times, when we realize that a battle's coming, we add to the armor those last three pieces. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I love pointing this out. Whose might are we to be strong in? Ours? The Lord's might. Put on the partial armor of God. What does it say, dear friends? Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Doesn't it seem like we do, though? Doesn't it seem like the things that you are battling is not unseen, but those folks and those things that just cause you trouble and difficulty all the time? It seems physical, but it's not. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And remember, we understand that that word stand means to what? Resist. Resist whom? These principalities that we just talked about. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, that is the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are the pieces of armor that never come off. And then above all, it says, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and we might even add there, the helmet of assurance of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And verse 18 adds to it, of course, praying always. So why don't we do that? Let's pray again. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we've recognized every piece of the armor. We've listed them. We pray, Father, that they are not only around us, but that they are worn faithfully. This morning, as we look again at the helmet of salvation, its sureness that is in our hearts and in our life and promised for our future, we pray, God, that it would bring a surety and a confidence in You that none other has except those who belong to You. Thank You, God, for Your Word, for the strength and the power that it brings. And would You today reinforce in our hearts and in our minds the surety of the day that is coming for, of our Lord to receive us to Himself. We praise Your name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. The armor of God. And this morning, again, the helmet of salvation. Now, you recall that the helmet of salvation, we've covered a couple of places, and you recall that the helmet of salvation covers our mind with a surety, with a promise that God's great day is coming. Amen? that God will not fail to return to get us. You remember the promise of Jesus to his disciples. He said, I'm going, and if I go, I will come back and I'll receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. You don't have to worry. You are not going to be left behind if you belong to Jesus Christ. So we understand that the helmet covers our mind with that surety that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we have the power from God's Holy Spirit to live every day in His victory until He comes back. He didn't say, I'm coming back until then, just muddle through. He said, until then, have a victory and you can have it in me. And He tells us how to do it. By being filled with the Spirit and by putting on the armor of God. The purpose of the helmet is to protect from a blow from the sword. You remember that last week? I think I surprised some of you when I began to beat this thing about one side and the other. So I decided this week I'm just going to remind you of it. But that's exactly what the helmet is for. It is to stop the blows of a sword. And why do we need a helmet? Because Satan loves to beat us about the head, about our thinking and our surety, and he uses a sword of discouragement and doubt. We talked about discouragement last week. Today we're going to talk about doubt. And I think that I've spent so much time on this because it is so needed among God's people that we have a surety, a confidence of God's salvation. If you don't have it, you're really not going to be a very good soldier. Because if you don't have the confidence that you belong to God, how in the world are you going to stand for the Word of God? So the purpose of the helmet is to protect from a blow from Satan's sword, discouragement and doubt. And I'm going to tell you, he loves to smack us around with both of them, doesn't he? All of us. We talked about discouragement last week, so understand this. If you don't have the assurance of knowing and trusting God, friends, if you first of all, make sure you belong to him. Listen, all it takes is a call to God in faith to realize that you need Him, that you can't get to heaven without Him, and your righteousness is filthy rags before Him, and you need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you take that on yourself, sometimes because of our lifestyle and the things we do, things we say, we begin to lose that confidence. Listen, the helmet of salvation is about having the confidence, the surety of God's salvation. God is with you. Remember, you're never alone. God is with you. God is for you. Your church family is with you. Your church family is for you. Satan, unfortunately, takes out a lot of Christians because they're not wearing the helmet of salvation. They don't have that surety. Now, let's talk about that second attack. Satan's second attack is doubt. Now, I'm going to tell you, I think that doubt really is the ultimate discouragement. Even though it's a little different than other discouragement, doubt can be the ultimate discouragement. Satan promotes a theology. He has a theology. You know what his theology is? His theology is the doctrine of insecurity. That's what he wants you to have. Insecurity. He wants you to doubt your salvation. And oh, is he ever good at it? Amen? Even those of us who have been Christians for years and have a surety of salvation, there are times he just likes to weasel in and get a hold of our thoughts. A lot of people suffer at some point in their Christian life with doubt. Nobody's invulnerable. Do you know why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we sin, Satan likes to needle those weak points like decay in a tooth. You ever been to the dentist and, you know, they get that little tool and they're tapping around on your teeth and they're click, 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 everything's fine. And then they find that one soft spot. Yeah! Are you with me? Satan goes all over your life. Tick, 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 until he finds that one spot. And then, oh! He gets a reaction from us. Friends, we need to be very, very careful because Satan knows where to attack. after we sin, we're vulnerable because we are out of the Spirit's desire and will for us. And Satan looks at us and he taps us on the shoulder and he says, look at that. You're just not very much of a Christian, are you? Maybe you're not a Christian at all. You know, you're not worth saving. You know, if I was God looking at you, I wouldn't want you. You're not good enough. You don't deserve to be saved. And you know the biggest problem with those statements? They're all true. All of them that were sinners. Not that God doesn't want us. But we're all sinners. Every statement from Satan about our sin is probably true. Except for this one. God loved us in spite of our sin and He made a way for us to come back to Him. That's what the helmet's about. The surety. The absolute confidence in our salvation in Christ. We are saved not because of our great ability not to sin, but we are saved because of the love and because of the grace of the Lord our God. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And it's a gift of God. You know, there are some out there that are teaching a theology that you can lose your salvation. The problem is, dear friends, they have to disregard a lot of Scripture to do that. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded. Listen, if this don't light your fire, you're not listening. If this doesn't light your fire, what's the old preacher say? He said, your wood's all wet or something like that. Listen, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's just one of many. How about Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14? In whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is of the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. You know what that says? He says that you were given a foreglimpse of the glory of heaven by God giving His Holy Spirit to us as an investment, as a down payment for the surety of your eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. The shepherd is able to keep his sheep. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What's the day of Christ Jesus? The day He returns to take us home. He's saying this, whoever who has placed it in you, which is God, He said He's able to keep that salvation in you until the day the Lord Jesus returns. We're not through yet. That's just a few of them. But I'm going to move on here because I want to share some later. Some are teaching a theology that you can lose your salvation. And you're saying, well, preacher, do you believe in an eternal security? Yes, I do. Do you know why? God's Word teaches it. You just need to read the Word and find what it's saying. You know what something I don't believe in is? I do not believe in eternal insecurity. Which is what Satan wants to do to you. He wants you to have an eternal insecurity. There are some people who live in a state of insecurity all the time. And they're Christians. They've given their life to the Lord. They just don't know the Word well enough. And they're not spending enough time with the Lord to realize that He's got them in His hands. Some people teach, listen to this. Some people teach that you cannot know whether or not you're saved until the day of the Lord when He takes all of us home and you appear before Him in glory, and at that time you find out, did you do enough? Are you saved? Listen, I can't live like that. Listen, I've got to know that my wife is going to fix me a meal every now and then. And if I can't live with the physical things, not knowing about them, I sure can't live about something that's important as eternity. I've got to know. I need to know. I can't imagine living like that. And you don't have to. These people who are teaching that you can't know have discarded 1 John 5:13. Listen to this. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." In other words, those who know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Now leave that up there for just a moment. Know that you have eternal life. Think you might have eternal life? Maybe one day hope you have eternal life? Guess at maybe having eternal life? One day maybe throw the dice and you'll get eternal life? What does it say? That you may know that you have eternal life. Folks, this is not a guess. This is ultimate knowledge given to you by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 John Chapter 1, verse 4 says this, "I have written these things unto you that your joy may be full." Now you're going, well, how is that about salvation? Listen, how can it not be about salvation? It's written there right in the middle and right in the midst, right before you read this other one. And it's talking about being able to know that you belong to Christ. He talks all the way through 1 John. First chapter, second chapter, third chapter, about who belongs to Him and how you can know and the tests that are there. He said, "I'm writing these things unto you that your joy may be full." And listen, the only way that you can have full joy is to know that you've got eternal life. If you're wondering and you're having doubts, that's misery. He didn't say, "I've written this unto you that you may have misery, but that your joy may be full." You know for a fact to whom you belong. Now, there are those who think as well that every time you sin, you lose your salvation. That's not in God's Word either. Listen, you do break a fellowship, but you do not break the ownership. If you belong to God, you might indeed sin. And if you sin, you are going to have a break in fellowship. But it's like a father and son. There might be a time that the son disappoints his father, but the bloodline is still there. Hello? You need to get things right. And that's what we're to do. If you sin and you die before you confess that sin, some people think that you're not going to get to heaven, that you will go to hell. But I want you to remember what Jesus told Peter in John chapter 13. Among all these other things that I've shared with you, and more I'm going to share, I want you to remember what he shared. I remember I told you this last week. You remember it said that Peter came around and he was going to wash the feet of the disciples, you recall? And when he came to Peter, what did Peter do? "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." You remember? "No, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet." And Jesus says, "If I don't wash your feet, you'll have nothing to do with me. I'll have nothing to do with you." So what did Peter say? He said, "Wash all of me, Jesus." That's like Peter, isn't it? There's a lot of Peters in here. Maybe I say there's a lot of us Peters in here. He said, "Then wash all of me." And Jesus says, "No, Peter. You are clean. Only your feet need to be washed." Does that mean that Peter had taken a shower recently? No. What was Jesus saying? He said, "You're clean before me. You're mine. It's just that as you walk through this world, dear Peter," he said, "there are times that your walk is dirty and it needs to be cleaned. It needs to be washed up. Wash your walk up, Peter. You already belong to me. You are already mine. You don't need to get rebaptized. You don't need to get resaved. Once you're saved, you're saved." But he said, "You need to wash your feet every now and then." In other words, what is he saying? Get your walk right with God. Amen? We need our feet washed every day. But we don't need to be re-saved, because there's no such thing. You're either saved or you're not. What is Satan's purpose in making us doubt? What does he want to happen? If we belong to God, listen to me, if you really belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're his child. And nothing could take us away from him, and Satan knows that. Why does he work so hard to cause us doubt? Why does he do that? First of all, he wants us miserable while we're here. Secondly, he doesn't want us working for the Lord to bring people to him. And when you're having doubts, you're not going to be working for the Lord. So why does he work so hard? Why does he want us to doubt our salvation? Because he wants us first and foremost to doubt the Word of God. He doesn't want you having faith in God's Word. He doesn't want you being able to carry the promise of God. He wants you to doubt that God's words are true. He wants you to deny that God speaks the truth and that he is a liar. He wants to try to turn around. Oh, believe me. Believe me. Don't believe God. He's trying to usurp the authority of God. And if he can do it in one of God's own, wow, what a betrayal. Satan wants us to believe that God doesn't keep his word, that God cannot hold on to us forever, or that for some reason, should he be unhappy with us, that he just won't want to hold on to us forever. Satan wants us to deny the power and the promise of God. And God's promise is that he will hold you till the day the Lord Jesus comes back for you. Understand this. There is a doctrine of salvation that you can find in the Word of God. True doctrine of the security of the believer. It's there. And the helmet of salvation is the assurance that you were saved in your past. That there was a time that you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ. You surrendered to him. You asked for forgiveness. You said, Lord, I am yours. You are the only way for me to get there. I trust that. And when you did that, you received the justification of God through faith. But it also assures that we will be saved in the future. The only salvation that's found in the Bible has three sections. Salvation in your past where you received Jesus Christ. Sanctification where it happens every day that you are being closer and closer to the Lord. And the last one, the glorification, where you get there and everything's as it should be. The Bible involves justification, sanctification, glorification, and all of these are a part of the salvation that it offers. It's the only kind it offers. It does not offer you one where you get justified and lost, justified and lost, and justified and lost. Listen, you are justified, and then you are supposed to be sanctified, growing closer and closer to him, and then the next step is glorification. Listen, Romans 8:30 says this, that you cannot be lost in between these. It says, whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. No section in there for losers. There's a section in there for fallers, but none for losers. Christ loves you so much. God loves you so much that he made a way that you would never have to worry. Listen to John 6:37. He says, all that the Father gives me, Jesus said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out, or no wise cast out, depending on the version. You know what that phrase, no wise, means? Under no circumstances. Jesus said, those that the Father has given me, there are no circumstances that they're going to be cast out. That's not my word, that's God's word. Listen, if that doesn't excite you, something's wrong. God's word says he will by no means cast you out. Christ never casts out someone who comes to him. Why? Because the ones who come to him are the ones given by the Father. He said, the Father gave them to me. If God gives you to Christ, it is a godly decree that you belong to him and he's given to Christ. Who is going to give up God's decree? Jesus sure isn't. And who can break God's decree? You sure can't. It's a decree of God. Who can break the decree of God? Now, let's look at that thought a little deeper. Let's go back and look at John 6:37 and following. John 6:37 through 40, it says this. You read this one already. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, listen, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that's the Father, sent the Son, that everyone, is that someone? Is that a few? Everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. That's the word of the Lord our God. Let's break it down. He said, you belong to me because God gave you to me. And if God gave you to me, it's his decree. And I will by no means cast anyone out. That means God received you. God gave you to the Son. The Son has you. The Son is going to hold on to you. He's not going to throw you out. That means that you are safe until the day he brings you home. Thank you, God. This is what I love about shepherds. I know you've heard this, but you've heard of all the animals in comparison that sheep are some of the... You said it, I didn't. Sheep are some of the dumbest animals out there, and they need a shepherd. Is it no wonder that the Lord compared us to sheep at times? All the time. But sheep need a shepherd. And he compared himself to the good shepherd. That's important. The good shepherd holds on to his sheep. Look at John chapter 10. I'm going to put it up here. If you have your Bible and you want to open it up and look at it, I suggest that you do and that you mark this section, because this is an important section for you. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 27 through 29. Look what Jesus said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. There it is again. Let's go through this. This is so important. I want us to just go through the scripture again. Let's break this one down. Verse 27 says what? My sheep hear my voice. Listen, if you're a Christian, to whom do you belong? God. My sheep. Whose are you? Christ's. It's the shepherd's duty to care for you. It's the shepherd's duty to watch after you. It's the shepherd's duty to protect you. The Son of God will keep his word and he's going to watch over you all the days of your life. When you surrender to him, he will keep you. Look at verse 27 again. He said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Christ's sheep follow him. They won't listen to strangers. They won't listen to the things that are not of God. True Christians are held and kept by the power of the shepherd, not by the power of the sheep. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding to know who you're listening to. The sheep may stumble, amen? The sheep may stumble, but they will still stay with him. Now look at verse 28. He said, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 28 says, and I give them eternal life. Do you realize that in every language, eternal is translated the same? You know what it means? Forever. Forever. Say it with me. Forever. That's how long eternity is. In no language is eternity ever cut short. So even by our own language, we understand that the life he gives us is how long? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Satan says it can be cut short here. Oh, you can have a little discomfort here, but you can't be cut off from God, okay? Not if you truly belong to him. How long does eternity last? We are bound to an eternity with him by its very definition. Eternal life. Then it says in verse 28, I give unto them. Do you like gifts? Sure, everybody likes gifts. You don't have to earn a gift. You may not deserve a gift, but a gift is given for that very reason. It is a grace given to you by someone from their merit, not yours. And the scripture says that Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life. It's a gift from God. You didn't earn it, and nobody else can steal it from you. Once it is given to you, it is yours forever. It cannot be taken away. It is given by the Lord Jesus. Verse 28 also says, and they never perish. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Does that mean you will never die? That means that you will never die spiritually. You may die physically because that is the sleep that God's word talks about. But perish means to die the second death, to be separated from God. So folks, you may go through a hard time here. You may go through a difficult time here. You may go through a lot of things here. But the scripture says that when this life is done, you head to the sleep because it is just a short time in the instant, because the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the scripture understands that we move straight to eternity and we never perish. No second death. If ever even one Christian perished, if ever even one that really came to God was lost, then Jesus Christ didn't tell the truth. And then verse 28 tells us something else. It tells us of the power of Jesus Christ. Look at the scripture again with me. We're going to read the whole verse of 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand. And then verse 29 reminds us not only of the power of Christ, but of the power of God. Look at verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, what did this just say? It says, my Father who's given it to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now in verse 28, Jesus says, nobody can snatch them out of my hand. Now in verse 29, he says, what? Nobody can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Listen, you know what that's called? Double security. You cannot lose with God. You are doubly protected by God the Son and by God the Father. How many does Jesus lose? Zero. None. You know why? Because, my friends, God has a counsel that cannot be changed. God has a calling once received that cannot be revoked. He has an inheritance that cannot be defiled. He has a foundation that cannot be shaken. He puts a seal on you as His child that can never be broken. That, dear friends, is the helmet of salvation. That, dear friends, is the helmet of confidence. The helmet of confidence in God's salvation. So what do we need to do? Put it on, quit doubting, and get busy. There's a fight going on, and you're needed. With that, I want to ask you, will you take up the helmet of salvation this morning? If you belong to Christ Jesus, you can wear it with assurance. If you don't, dear friend, I ask you, will you come to know Christ? Why would you wait past this very day? Will you come to Jesus? Invite Him into your heart and life. And it starts with belief. Would you pray with me? If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you know in your heart that His Word is true, you know it this morning. You may have never realized it before, but this morning you realize, I believe God's Word is true. I believe that God is real. I believe He sent His Son. I believe He died on the cross for me. I believe that He rose from the dead. I believe that He's coming back on that day of the Lord. And I want to put my faith in Him to go to God. Listen, my friends, a prayer will not save you. But faith will. If you just pray a prayer, that prayer could be insincere. It could be wrong. But God is not wrong. He says, if you will put your faith and trust in Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God. If that's what you want to do right now, you can say, God, I'm a sinner. I know it. I've broken my fellowship with You, and I want to come back to You.